This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New details on the final moments before that mid-air collision in D.C. last month.
NTSB investigators say they have now confirmed through data the Black Hawk helicopter was flying at an altitude of 278 feet above the 200-foot limit, but they're looking into the possibility the Black Hawk pilots were getting bad data in the cockpit and may have thought that they were lower. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
There may be bad data. We're looking at, were they seeing something different in the cockpit?
Her team has found just before the crash, the American Airlines regional jet drastically tried to increase pitch. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Andrew Lester, the Kansas City man charged with shooting an unarmed black teen who knocked at his door in 2023, entered a guilty plea to second-degree assault today. 16-year-old Ralph Yarrow mistakenly went to Lester's home to pick up his younger brothers after a playdate. And flu activity has not peaked yet. The CDC says 30 million flu illnesses have been reported. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced legislation to protect AM radio. The bill would require automakers to continue making AM radio accessible in their new passenger vehicles at no additional cost to consumers. The lawmakers say AM radio is a crucial service, especially for farmers who use it to receive critical emergency information and local news. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for frozen, fully cooked, ready-to-eat meat and poultry pasties due to misbranding and an undeclared allergen. The products were produced using an egg wash, which contains egg, a known allergen that is not declared on the product label. FSIS is issuing this product health alert to ensure that consumers with allergies to eggs are aware that this product should not be consumed. The frozen, fully cooked, ready-to-eat meat and poultry pasties were produced on and prior to December 11th and have a one-year shelf life. The following products are subject to the public health alert. 8-ounce plastic packages containing the pasty oven pasty with chicken and cheese. 8-ounce plastic packages containing the pasty oven pasty, pizza pasty with pepperoni, 15-pound cases containing 38-ounce units of the pasty oven pasty with chicken and cheese, and 15-pound cases containing 38-ounce units of the pasty oven pasty pizza pasty with pepperoni. The products bear establishment number EST20650 inside the USDA mark of inspection. These items were sold at the establishment's restaurant in Michigan and shipped to fundraiser groups, such as those for schools and nonprofit organizations in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Badgers prepare for Purdue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, big game for Wisconsin tomorrow, taking on number 7th-ranked Purdue in West Lafayette. Tip-off at noon, the Badgers have surpassed preseason predictions. Head coach Greg Gard on the Jim Rome Show.
If I had said to you back then that in the middle of February, you would be in the top 15 or 16, what would you have said?
I would have said our plan has come together in terms of how we wanted to put this roster together, and more importantly, a credit to our players of how they perform.
Marquette on the road at Villanova a week from tonight. The Golden Eagles ranked 18th in the nation. NBA, the All-Star game this weekend in San Francisco. 25 years ago, Damian Lillard's father took him to the All-Star game as a 9-year-old growing up in Oakland.
So now to be, like you said, 25 years later, and this being my 9th All-Star game, and kind of back in front of that hometown crowd, you know, it's definitely a special moment.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A winter weather advisory starts at 2 o'clock and goes into the night. Snow, heavy at times, and breezy winds will blow and drift it around and make it hard to see. By this evening, a good inch or two should be on the ground, and with another inch expected to fall overnight, it continues into tomorrow, laying down another 1 to 3. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. TGIF. Goodness, we made it again. If you're joining us, folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a special pre-recorded, but very fresh, very brand new segment that we are now calling Ask Maggie. You can find it here across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network at 3 p.m. every Friday afternoon. It's a way to talk about politics without talking about politics, and maybe not to talk about politics at all, depending on what the questions are, which is kind of the point. And if you've been listening to my show for basically more than 5 minutes, you know that one of my failings is that I can go on a bit about things. I can get myself riled up into quite the lather. And so part of the trick here is that I am limited to either 30 or 60 seconds to answer your questions. If you have questions, you can email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Really, they can be questions about any gosh darn thing you want. What I've done, stupid things I've done, experiences. I've worked in all kinds of different roles. It can be political questions. It can be deep philosophical questions. Who is your favorite philosopher would be a really not deep, but yet philosophical question. Anything you want, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Each week, I'm joined by my producer running the board, as well as my senior producer and friend, Jamie Martinson. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Sam, who's running the board today. I can't wait to do this with all of you. And legit, folks, on a week-over-week basis, I have no idea what I'm being asked. So, yeah, there's a spontaneity element here as well. So, Jamie, I'm going to hand it over to you and Sam to, you know, probably get me to say some embarrassing things. It's Friday afternoon.
So how are you with being spontaneous, though? Is this something that's true to your nature, or are you very much a gotta plan it out? Because, I mean, I work with you on a daily basis. I know how the show goes itself, but on, you know, just when you're at home, you're chilling, are you normally spontaneous, or do you like to have a good plan?
So the answer, you'd be shocked. You should probably put me on a timer for this, Jamie and Sam, because the answer is complicated. As a lawyer and as a trial lawyer, you are preparation
sure.
and a plan is drilled into you. But the very nature of being a stand on your feet trial lawyer is that stuff is going to happen in that courtroom that you do not anticipate.
Sure.
Right. Witnesses are going to say things that you didn't think they were going to say. And so the key is to be prepared so that you can be spontaneous. That's generally been my approach for the show.
Right.
But this is all in my professional sphere. In my personal realm, I have basically two modes. And there are only two modes. And the two mode is on and off. And if I am in off mood, there will be no spontaneity. I will be holding the couch down to the best of my benefit with my Kindle and my dog
sure.
curled up in a fetal-like ball, not wanting to engage with the outside world at all. But if I am in on mode and somebody's like, let's go to Great America and ride some roller coasters this Saturday. I will go. So I can be very spontaneous or you're not getting anything from me.
I love that you just have bravery to go on a roller coaster. Let me tell you, the merry-go-round gets to be a little too crazy for me. So,
okay, Jamie, we're doing this then. We're going to Great America this summer. It's happening.
Okay. So should we start with a question? Because I feel like we got to get you into this. And we've got some really good questions.
Start with an easy question.
Then let's do this. We've got Dale, who actually texted in from the La Crosse area. 30 seconds for this, Sam. Are you ready, Maggie? When you're sitting at AmFam in the middle of a Brewers game, are you a hot dog or are you a brat person? And what are your toppings?
Oh, I love this question. I love this question. First of all, Dale from the La Crosse area, I am D, all of the above. Give me a hot dog. Give me a brat. There is a guy with the best sausage stand in the stadium at around section 210. He's got a flat top grill. He puts the kraut on there and the onions. So I love a pile of kraut on both hot dog and brat. I love a pile of sauteed onions on both hot dog and brat. And then on my hot dog, I prefer a little relish.
Go ahead.
Oh, my
finish.
God.
No, finish. Okay. It's okay.
I'm going to finish. A little relish, little German brown mustard, little ketchup on my brat. I also like a little brown mustard and ketchup. And Dale, I'm going to tell you that. That's just round one of the eating festivus that is a Brewer game for this gal. I will eventually then later get to the helmet nachos because I'm not going to AmFam Field without a gosh darn helmet of nachos, preferably split. But I have no shame. I'll polish that puppy off all by myself.
Well, I think that's the way you do it. Now, I learned that there's ice cream at AmFam, right? I grew up in South Dakota.
Not just ice cream. There's custard.
I know. I grew up in South Dakota. We don't have any professional sports teams. So when I got here and I was like, oh, the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks, right? This is like triple anomaly stuff at this point. And I was like, and I can watch baseball and have some custard? I mean, who are these people? Then I realized I'm in Wisconsin where everything's about dairy. So it's fine.
Yeah, it is. We call it I'm a dairy forward household. You want your cheese, your creams, your full fat milks, full fat lattes, custards. Yes.
Yes.
And if I'm getting custard at AmFam, I know you didn't ask this, Dale. I like the custard that is the vanilla chocolate twist, which is sacrilege to some custard purists, but I like it. It's like having my cake and eating it too. I don't have to choose.
Even Sam is nodding in here with me today.
Yes, right. My brother.
You got to do the twist.
All right, we got an easy one under my belt.
All right, so I started off pretty easy. I didn't realize it was going to get that complicated, but of course I get it. I get it when we're talking toppings, right? Yeah. All right, so this one's going to be a little trickier, all right?
Okay.
So this comes to us from, Scott in Madison, and he wants to know, and this is going to be a 60-seconder, how much is it going to cost the federal government to reissue everyone new Social Security numbers and all the back-end databases that need to be fixed because of Elon Musk and his minions? 60 seconds, Maggie.
I'm going to expand your question a little bit, Scott, because what you're really asking me is what is the cost to unscrew up what is getting screwed up, right? And, I thought they were all about efficiency and effectiveness. The reality here is that the vast majority of people that work for the federal government do jobs that literally do not have any political or partisan bend to them at all. These are people that are executing technical job functions. 16% of federal employees work in healthcare. So what is it that Elon's cutting and dismantling? These are, again, people that aren't doing partisan policy work. They're just executing job functions. So I think the big picture question here is, once he breaks it, how big is the bill that comes to American taxpayers to try to fix what he's breaking? And I think it's going to probably end up being a generationally large expense. And think of it this way. He's purporting to save taxpayer dollars. I want to know, what the net savings is. You know, in 10 years, was there one single penny of savings after you break it and we have to rebuild it? Because, you know, getting health care to veterans isn't something you can just burn to the ground without there being impact. So I think on a net basis, it's going to cost us quite a bit of money to fix what Elon has broke. Did I just blow past my 60 seconds?
It's okay. It was no, you blew way past it, but we had to let you get the thought out because like way past, but that's okay. It was a good answer. We had to get it.
It's an important topic.
It is.
It is an important topic.
It is.
If you can, Sam, can you turn the music up just a little bit in my headphones? Because then I can maybe hopefully try to wrap things up on my timer designated limit.
Do we have time for another question?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's do one more. And this is going to be another 60. Are we good on time if we do 60? All right. Looking at Sam for our cues here. So this is an email from a listener in Wausau. Didn't sign their name. Remember, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us if you want to get your questions in. This listener says, I'm already hearing Trump voters say, I didn't think he actually meant what he was saying. How do we break through that spell that he's cast on so many people, Maggie? 60 seconds to answer.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just say pass? What about phone a friend? Listener who asked this very, very important question. If someone knew the answer to that perfectly and accurately, we would have solved the moment's political problem. Because my genuine good faith belief is that nobody thought when they voted for Donald Trump that he was literally just going to hand the keys of the government over to Elon Musk, create a billionaire overlord, and say, well, to hell with the consequences. Nobody expected that. Yep, we expected some suggestions. I thought they were actually going to do a good faith audit. Maybe start with the Department of Defense, which has the biggest budget line item in the federal government. I don't know, not USAID that has a paltry 10,000 employees. Okay, I've digressed. How do we get people to realize it? I think we got to talk about how it's affecting them and their families, especially in the ways that might not be totally obvious. But I think some of these negative impacts are going to become clearer and clearer with each passing day. I almost made it on the buzzer.
That was very good. Very, very nice. Look at how excited she is that she almost made it to the buzzer.
Listen, I was always trying to get an A in school. I'll admit it. I'm trying to get done.
Were you an overachiever in school? I have to ask this. Were you like a total
Jamie,
overachiever?
Are you actually asking me that question?
Well, I think I know the answer. I just want our listeners to know the answer.
What do you think?
I'm going to say it was a resounding yes. And the only reason I know this is because there's a kindredship between you and I, because I was the exact same way. Exact same way. Competed with myself. Didn't really care what anybody else was doing, but if I brought home a B, oh, it was game on next time.
So this is a really interesting topic, and maybe I can give people a little flavor of I've done a lot of mentoring and counseling for people at all levels of their education attainment. And I have advice for people when it comes to this, because trying to figure out how to really do the best that you can is less intuitive than it seems. So if you don't mind me seeding a question to me, I might give all of our listeners just a little tidbit of this when we come back. I know we got to take care of a little bit of business coming up here, because I think that's really critical. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're hearing from my senior producer, Jamie. We got Sam on the board today for today's episode of Ask Maggie. You can find it here in the 3 o'clock hour every Friday. We're going to take care of a little business. We'll be right back with more questions for me and that pesky timer right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Could tell me to just put a cork in it sometimes. Do you have a burning question for me? Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If your answer was yes to either one or both of those questions, then this segment is for you. We do it every Friday at 3 p.m. with my partner in the show, my senior producer, Jamie, and each and every one of you. We take questions that you submit either via text, phone, or most preferably ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. That's an email. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Jamie gives me the question that she selects. I have no idea what I'm going to get asked, and I usually get 30 seconds or 60 seconds to answer it before the buzzer sounds the end of my answering time period. Often Jamie's kind enough to give me a small bit of grace if I might be putting down some somewhat logical sounding response. And if not, she just cuts me off. I got Sam with me on the board. I've got all of you joining us for today's episode, specially pre-recorded for your Friday afternoon holiday weekend listening enjoyment. Jamie, I promised everybody before the break that I would talk to people about some of the advice that I give folks that is more targeted to people in graduate programs.
Sure.
And in undergraduate.
I should take some notes because I think this applies to me yet.
Because I was always like try maximally hard at everything all the time. And as I entered into increasingly difficult academic programs and also just degree programs, I went to a liberal arts university. They required, you know, coursework across a whole gamut of things, not all of which I was good at. And what I figured out, I had a scholarship with a GPA that I had to maintain. And in law school, generally speaking, everybody isn't good at every sort of area of the law. And you could spend legitimately an infinite amount of time, all 24 hours every day, studying and trying to prepare for these things. So as I approached my studies, I had to get very, very strategic about how I approached my studies. And big surprise, I was always destined to be an economist. I thought about two things. What is really effective to get the output or to maximize my output? And what is the most efficient way to do that? Now, I got pretty literal about this when I was an undergrad, given all the other activities I was in. I was involved in our residence hall, our RA groups. I was in a bunch of leadership group. I was in an academic fraternity. I was in a social sorority, a business fraternity. I played rugby, which was an all-season sport. I was doing a whole bunch of stuff. So my approach was I would look at my class list for each semester and basically, to the best of my ability, predict what grade I was going to get in the class. Mm-hmm. And adjust my level of effort accordingly. Because yes. This girl was never ace in chemistry. Like, that's not happening, right? So I'm not going to give A-level effort in a class that I can only maybe get a C-plus in, right? Sure. So that was an approach. And I used that similarly in law school. There were students that I met that just felt crushed because they couldn't seem to break a certain grade level. And I said, well, if that is your consistent experience, are you actually studying because you think you're going to get an A? Do you need to put in A-level studying to get your C?
Sure.
Or are you going to, can you still get your C with less effort and pick up that degree and go work on your next thing, right? And that sort of effort outcome adjustment, I think, can be very helpful for people. Now, that takes some self-awareness, some situational awareness, which is also challenging. So it's also teaching a little bit of a soft set of skills there as well. Sorry, long answer to a question about, did I try hard in school? Yes, I was a classic tryharder.
Oh, see, math was my thing. And we've talked about this. I had to take consumer math, if you don't know, very quick. It's literally like trying to, you know, grocery shop without going over a budget,
Over budget.
I was a communications and English major. It was easy stuff. So we went to a grocery store. They gave us $20. I forgot that there was tax included. I went over. I failed. Tells you everything you need to know.
I was literal about it. I thought the tax was baked into the cake.
Forgot about
tax. There's lots of double entendre there. So, Jamie, you bring up a really important point. One of my personal passions, something that I talk about with groups all the time, is basic financial literacy and why this is not taught and a mandated part of every state's Department of Public Instruction mandated coursework across all levels. Like, you can start this in grade school, middle school, teach it in high school, reaffirm it in college classes. We have a consumer credit emergency in the United States because people don't know how to manage this. Oh, and by the way, of course, Donald Trump is dismantling the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau because they've only saved consumers like $12 billion. So let's shut that down.
No big deal. No big deal. Who wants their money protected and saved? We don't need to worry about that.
Silly
stuff. Silly us for thinking that's a thing. Should we get to some listener questions?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Pontificated far long enough.
All right. Yes. I've got a really good one, and you're going to love this. Let's give her 60 because I'm a dog mom. This comes from another dog mom. I know how dog moms can be. So this comes to us from Liz, who listens in Sauk County. She chooses a station on the app on a daily basis. She says that she's always loved your show, and she loves it even more since last week when Senator Ratcliffe joined you for our new segment called Broad Appeal, and you were talking about wieners, and specifically in this case, we're talking about wiener dogs. Liz is also a weenie dog mom. She has Lulu, who is 8 years old, and she wants to know how you and Finny found one another. She also says to keep fighting the good fight, Maggie Dawn, and remember, weenie mamas united forever. So, 60 seconds, tell us how you met your Finny.
First of all, thank you so much, Liz, from Sauk County, and my big love and big sloppy kisses to Lulu, because one thing weenie dogs love is they love some kisses. Okay, so I had always wanted a dog. I have always loved hunting dogs. I grew up with hunting dogs, but I live in downtown Milwaukee, which means it is not fair to the dog, who is big, huge, and needs to be run for miles every day, to live in a two-bed, two-bath, like, small condo on Milwaukee's east side, because I can't get them out enough. So I had thought about small dogs, but I'm not into the munch-faced. I love those that love the munch-faced dogs, all for it. Love the Chihuahuas, but not my jam. A best friend of mine showed me and introduced me to her mini wiener dog, and I fell in love. And so I reached out to the breeder that they got their amazing pup from. I got skipped in the line. Accidentally, there was this huge, long line because of COVID. Everybody wanted a ween. Breeders screwed it up. So I truly believe that my little Finny dog was like God intended, the stork intended for me to have little Finny. And she is, her full name is Josephine Margot, but I call her Finny. And she is an 11 and a half pound little ball of wonder. She smells like pancakes all the time. And I'm sorry I went over, but I love my little dog.
I knew you would.
And I love you, Lulu. And my little one is just about 2.5. We're going to have to leave it there for today's episode of Ask Maggie. You're going to want to keep it locked because I got your favorite Friday segment. I know it's mine coming up next. We got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The end of winter draws closer. Farmers are turning their thoughts to what the weather forecast looks like for the upcoming growing season. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Eric Snodgrass, the senior atmospheric scientist with Conduit Ag, says there are concerns about drought as he looks ahead.
I would tell you that I think spring might be tight. Now, that's an easy forecast to make in Wisconsin and surrounding states simply because, you look, historically, we typically have tight springs anyway. We tend to hang on to cool weather a little bit too long, and I just think this year's weather pattern is going to do that. What I'm worried about is west of the Mississippi. I think we need to be keeping a close eye on some of the weather patterns that have created some massive deficits in parts of the southwest U.S. and even at times in the plains. I mean, I know we're not going to look back too far, but we've not had much snow across the northern tier of the U.S., and fall's drought still lingering and really terrible subsurface soil moisture problems. So I think we might be watching a situation where drought and heat pushes from the west toward us. And the question is, does it get here? And does it get here in time to cause an issue?
Again, that's Eric Snodgrass of Conduit Ag along with us. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Did you know the definition of comfort foods is food that provides consolation or a feeling of well-being? I'll tell you what, they've got it from door to door at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to stop by Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online, BavariaSausage.com. If you're looking for comfort foods, look no further to Bavaria Sausage. With their old world flavors and diverse products, you won't run out of recipe ideas, that's for sure. Take a look, of course, at all their authentic German recipes that are available there, and some of the special items that you won't find anywhere else. Bavaria Sausage also looking forward to the breaks in Wisconsin's winter weather, where you might even think about grilling out. That's their strong suit, making sure whenever the weather allows that you've got a Bavaria brat ready for the grill. BavariaSausage.com. Check it out today.
I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 493.5, up 3.25. And new crop corn closed at 472.75, down 3/4. Cash beans closed at 10:30, that was up 2.25 cents. And new crop beans closed at 10:45 1/4, up 1.25 cents. Cash wheat closed at 577.75, up 3.5 cents. And new crop wheat closed at 603, up 4.25 cents. On the dairy side of things, March Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1976 a hundredweight. That is down 2 cents. And April Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1936, down a penny. Barrel cheese closed at 183. That was up 1/4. 40-pound block cheese had no change and closed at 192. And the AA butter closed down 1/2 and closed today at 240. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A winter weather advisory starts at 2 o'clock and goes into the night. Snow, heavy at times, and breezy winds will blow and drift it around and make it hard to see. By this evening, a good inch or two should be on the ground, and with another inch expected to fall overnight, it continues into tomorrow, laying down another 1 to 3. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 23.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done.
I don't know what you all think, but she is definitely the sunny to my rain, helping make every Friday afternoon a bit better for every single one of us, including you. Her name's Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media. She's here every Friday at 3:30 for what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Terry. It's always so great to see and hear from you.
Absolutely, Maggie. Same to you. Happy Friday to you and all of the listeners. Maybe it's for another week.
That is always an accomplishment these days. So what good thing do you have for us this afternoon to start, Terry?
I am starting with the film Green and Gold. And I know I always love to ask you, have you heard about this film?
I haven't yet, which is mortifying to me. So I will put it on my weekend list of to-dos.
You really should. It's all shot in gorgeous Door County, Wisconsin. Now, it's the story of a farmer who is about to go bankrupt. So he bets the farm on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. I love this story so much. So very Wisconsin. But it almost didn't happen here. And it was close to being moved to South Dakota. Can you imagine?
No,
it's all
kidding.
About Wisconsin, and it's being shot in South Dakota. Luckily, those behind it said, no, we cannot have that happen. We're going to stay in Wisconsin. But the problem is incentives in other states to film are huge, and it can be a big reason they choose to go to another state
right.
than Wisconsin. I did talk with one of the screenwriters. His name is Michael Graff, and here's what he told me about it.
So few opportunities to tell Wisconsin-centered stories. Part of the fact the state of Wisconsin doesn't have film incentives, so it really discourages filmmakers from working in the state. And I just think this is it's a great opportunity to share what makes Wisconsin special and unique and cool and a great place to live. And I just hope that it connects with folks, not just in the state, but around the rest of the country. So, you know, we know what makes, you know, what makes living in Wisconsin great. But
yeah,
I think
yeah.
sometimes we need to share it with other folks, too.
Mm-hmm. And we saw this a week ago. This is now the second week. It's in the big theaters, yay. And it is airing all across the country. The ratings for it on Rotten Tomatoes are stellar. So
great.
It's an independent film. Yeah. Independent films need that kind of rating. So if they are getting the 5 Rotten Tomatoes, it will stay in the theater for a little bit longer. That really is a key to staying on the big screen. And Maggie, the movie is beautiful. It really is.
So, Terry, this is so perfectly timed, I have to tell you, because guess where I am going this weekend to have the 3-day long vacation weekend? I am going up to Door County. I do this every winter season with a bunch of friends. We rent one of those houses that we probably couldn't afford in high season. And we sit and have the like 2 nanoseconds of freezing your patootie off, getting from like the house to the hot tub.
Oh, there is, wonderful.
There is a lot of storytelling. Oh, yay. The fish I caught was this big. big type of storytelling. And this year, I'm super excited. My little buddy, my really good friend, Dom Salvia, is coming with me with his amazing wife. We're going to have such a great time. I love going up to the door, also during the winter time, I cross-country skied up in the Door Peninsula when I was a kid. We would do a big family outing up there. Yep, because you could always count on the snow. I absolutely love it. It has been such a big part of my Wisconsin upbringing and life stories. My favorite story, and probably a very funny Maggie moment from when I was in Door County as a college student, was going with my BFF, Annie, up to the Door Peninsula. Her family was fortunate enough to have a boat that actually had a couple sleeping berths.
Oh, wow.
Right? That they would keep up in the Door. I think they docked it in like Fish Creek or Sister, but you know, one of the many bayside hamlets up the peninsula. And her parents were also there that weekend. They gave us ladies the run of the boat, which was very generous. And we got to see John and Mary a few times while we were up there. Well, of course, John and Mary knew full well that we would overindulge, as young, stupid adults are wont to do on Saturday night. So John sneaks onto his boat, of course, his boat, at like first breaking daylight on Sunday morning with Annie and I. Conked out. I'll just say conked out in the sleeping berths. And guess what John cranks up across the stereo system on this boat? Jimi Hendrix playing the national anthem at Woodstock on like max volume. Okay.
Oh, he got you.
He did. But this is how cool John is. I love him and I have loved him so much. He was like a second dad. John and Mary both were to me. He cranks up the Jimi Hendrix, of course. This rockets us into a wee bit of a difficult morning. But, of course, John was already in the kitchen in, what is it called on a boat? There's a word for the I don't know what it's called.
It's like galley, but I don't
think
that's
the galley. Yes, I'll call it the galley. It's like bathrooms are the head. I never understand. Anyways, John, of course, went right into the galley, brought over Bloody Mary fixins and fried cheese curds. Because John was the man. I miss him dearly. He's no longer with us, but those are some of the memories that he helped make along with his family for me in Door County. Because the best boat in the whole world is your friend's boat.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, those suckers are money pits.
Why have one you have to worry about when you can have your friend's boat and get all that service that... he obviously took good care of you. So that's
he did, as well as, you know, giving us a hard time, which is your best friend's parents, right? Always, right? Okay, what else you got for us, Terry?
Well, and I want to mention to you, too, if you drive on Main Street in Sturgeon Bay, they shut that down for the film. And their tractors are driving down Main Street in the film. And it's really fun to see some of the buildings and some of the people that you may recognize. So just watch for that or think about that if you do go into Sturgeon Bay.
Can we get the film like pay-per-view or anything? Like, if
not yet.
Okay. I'm going to keep my eyes up. Maybe we'll end up going to a drive-through up there with our little group this weekend and see if we can see it. Because that would be really cool to then drive through Main Street in Sturgeon Bay, right?
I mean, we're there. Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt.
Kind of ties into what we've been talking about with regards to like film incentives and arts. Create Wisconsin is a statewide organization, and they are trying, everybody involved in it is trying to change things for the better for arts all across Wisconsin. Did you know this, Maggie? Our state is ranked 49th in the U.S. for funding for arts and creatives.
You had shared the statistic with me specifically before in this fabulous segment, Terry. Yeah. I also know because I grew up in theater and I played the violin and was in the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra and have a lot of friends that are still creatives and artists. And they bemoan this fact about the state of Wisconsin quite frequently.
Yes. And on the list, not only helping all the creatives, but is trying to get those film incentives to get more filmmakers
made here.
Here. The group right now has a letter to our lawmakers asking for more consideration in the budget. And I just want to encourage people, if you want to learn more about this, what this group in particular is trying to do, you can sign the letter too, if you are so inclined. You can read it. Just learn more. Because the arts are so important, as Maggie mentioned, and I absolutely agree. Go to the website createwisconsin.org.
I love it when you give me homework, Terry. As yes. As Jamie and I were talking about in the last segment, I was a try harder, try my best all the time. So I will be completing my homework assignment as soon as I get off the air with you. And I will be signing up on createwisconsin.org. As we always do here on the Maggie Dawn Show, that website we will put in our show notes. You can find every single one of my past episodes, including today's segment with Terry, which I love dearly, when you go to civicmedia.us/shows. We'll have the website included there. You can also find all of my past episodes on Apple Pods and Spotify, wherever you like to get your podcast for. And it's always free. Likewise, you can go ahead and get the Civic Media app to listen to our show wherever you may be, not just in this great state of Wisconsin or the Door County Peninsula, though those are always good places to be. Yet the arts funding, I mean... Given that our neighbor state, Minnesota, is one of, I think, like the top five for arts funding.
Absolutely. Illinois and Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
That is just an embarrassment. Dear Wisconsin, since when do we allow us to be bested by Illinois when it comes to supporting Wisconsin industries? I mean, that is ridiculous. Illinois and Minnesota are kicking our butts. We should just try to do better because... We're just not going to take that lion down. I mean, that is truly pathetic. 49th. I mean, in addition to all of my beef with Robin Voss, I'm going to put this in clearly my top five beef with Robin Voss. Who likes Robin Voss? Republicans don't even like Robin Voss. Maybe we could at least get together.
Does he like himself?
Terry, we could do a whole hour show on what does Robin Voss really think about himself? Since he took all those PPP loans, I don't know. It's like, is he a little bit like Darth Vader-y? Just a coal black heart, lump of coal type of thing going on, like has no soul? I kind of get that feeling from him every once in a while. We're certainly going to be able to tell as the governor's budget presentation is what now, like, 3 days away. It's happening next week. So we will hear the Republican. Yep. We will hear the Republican response to the governor's budget proposals. I'll be interested. Hey, Robin, what are you doing about child care in Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. What are you doing about Trump defunding Head Start? What are you doing to help make sure each and every one of our kids has an equal shot at success? You want to talk about meritocracy? It starts in public education, and that means not defunding public education, which has been the GOP endeavor for the last 20 years in Wisconsin. They finally do something about it and are super quick to pat themselves on the back. All they're doing is harm reduction, not helping. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I will be curious to see where arts falls in any kind of priorities.
Well, it's interesting, of course, because the first thing that ends up on any public education budget cutting room floor, pardon the double entendre there, right, or the double metaphor, is arts education.
Yes.
And I know when I was, and I attended, I'm a very proud graduate of Rufus King High School for the College Bound on 19th and Olive in Milwaukee, and we had choir, we had theater programs, we had orchestra and band, we had a vibrant yearbook, we had a photography program, because like every kid isn't either a jock or a nerd. There needs to be a place for everyone's super skills to shine. Like that, absolutely. That is a public education environment.
Yeah, I agree. Wholeheartedly, music all the way around, arts, theater.
We're still enjoying all of it too. Yeah, we're still do a hangout, Terry, where we like punch a jukebox and go back and forth, preferably in a bar that has an actual jukebox and not one of those ones where people can skip your songs with the app on the phone. I mean, that's
right.
That's great. I hate that thing. I want it back the old fashioned way, like quarters and the push buttons. I'd love to do that with you sometime, Terry.
Let's go on a look for one of those, and then we're going to have to do that.
Which will turn into like a Charlie Barron's adjacent, you know, pub/bar crawl. I love it. What if we'll take volunteers to be our designated driver for that little outing. Folks, that is my colleague in fun here at Civic Media, Terry Barr, for What's Good, Local, and Overlooked. You can find her here with me and you every Friday at 3:30 across the Civic Media Talk Network. Have a fabulous President's Day weekend, Terry, and thanks for being here with me.
I will be thinking of you in Door County. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to give you some of my Valentine's thoughts. Who do we need to be lifting up and loving in this moment? Not just your secret Valentine. More on The Maggie Dawn Show when we come back after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the last segment of this Friday's installment of The Maggie Dawn Show here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You got my little buddy, my friend, and yours coming up next. His name's Dom Salvi. He's got the fine program that follows mine also Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. So stick around and check that out. I wanted to spend this last segment of the day on Valentine's Day talking about really how to love and support each other in these incredibly trying times. Not the romantic sort of love, but the love that all Christians and many, many, most faiths, I would say, are called within their faith theology to extend to one another as neighbors, as fellow travelers on this here rock. Because I think the message from so many these days seems to be one of judgment, of rejection, of hate, frankly, a message of division. And so today, I don't want to talk about romantic love. You can just turn on the radio and listen to all kinds of stuff, all kinds of reflections on romantic love. I want to talk about extending love to those who believe differently than you do, who think differently than you do, who live differently, who may love differently than you do, who are different from you. And fundamentally, you know, if you are a Christian, isn't that the one overriding request, not just request, directive to love one another? And isn't that what Jesus's life embodied over and over again? So even if you're not a Christian, I think this applies with some widespread authority. And again, you can look at various of the world's religions. And I think the message, again, of loving one another, of acknowledging each other's shared humanity and dignity is a fundamental core precept. Now, in this moment, you know, last week I referenced and we listened to some of Bishop Marianne Budde's sermon that she spoke and I think in many ways directed at President Trump. And she called on us, called on President Trump to honor these sorts of ideas, to honor human dignity, to stand up and be honest, and to be humble while doing these things. And lastly, she called upon the president to show mercy. So today, I want to acknowledge and help stand up and show love and care and concern for the dignity and the humanity of everyone in our trans community, not just the trans community, but especially the trans community. From a broader perspective, everyone in the LGBTQIA community, but especially trans folks. So if you are not a trans person, if you aren't well-versed in the issues and challenges and advocacy in the trans community, I'd like to give you a few things to do. If you want to show love as Jesus called you to show love, rooted in love for all persons, even those that live or love differently, how are you being an ally? How are you showing up for trans folks? I've got five things for you to do to show up in love and solidarity for the LGBTQIA community, but trans folks specifically. The first is to do your personal work. It is not a trans person's job to educate you about trans issues. So please spend some time. Reach out to trans advocacy groups. Check their websites out. Do some research. Read about this. If you are a conservative, if you are a Christian, expand your source network when you do this personal work. Second, please center the voices of trans people. If you are not a trans person, this isn't about you. Please act accordingly and in humility. Third, solidarity work, allyship isn't glamorous. It's not about getting your name in a headline. It isn't about the cookies, if you will. So get over yourself. This is very much about real everyday allyship and work. So understand that it's not going to be fancy. It's not going to be performative. It's about real work. Four, address the impact of your actions and learn from your mistakes. And fifth and finally, trans folks need allies and solidarity, not saviors. This means that transgender, non-binary, and gender-expansive people are not victims. Please do not treat them as such. And if you are a trans person out there, please know that I love and support you. You will always have a safe place here on this show and on this network. Please take care of yourselves. Double down on your internet security. Consider your social media presence. Assess your resources, your support groups. Take care of your personal health. Advocate for your personal health. And please, please connect with your community. Find those safe allies. Find your community, those people that love and support you, no matter what. I'm going to have to leave it there, folks. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's love one another as we've all been called to do, regardless of who we may love. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it is better when we stand together in solidarity with our trans folks and community.
And then she kissed me, and I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jen. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or you hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee. And get yourself free. Slip out the back, Jen. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key and get yourself free.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Salvia.
Monday, we'll be back live. We check in with our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay. Plus, fallout from the resignations at the SDNY over dropping charges against Mayor Eric Adams. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Another career lead prosecutor in the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office resigning. Sources tell ABC News amid pressure from the Justice Department to drop New York City Mayor Eric Adams' corruption case. Sources tell ABC News the U.S. Attorney Hagan Scotton argued in his letter that only a fool or coward would sign off on the case's dismissal. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
There are now at least seven federal prosecutors here in New York and in Washington who have resigned. An unprecedented upheaval at the Department of Justice as President Trump tries to assert more control over the department and even over the sitting mayor of New York.
A U.S. judge extending the block on individuals associated with DOGE from accessing sensitive Treasury Department records and payment systems. A final decision on an injunction is expected in the coming days. Much of the West Coast cleaning up or digging out after severe storms, heavy rain triggering mudslides in Southern California, where those burn-scarred areas were devastated by wildfires. This is ABC News.